Okay, back to business here. I'm going to talk to Eric Karlstrom this hour about a lot of the dark and dirty secrets that are being hidden from most people. In fact, many people are being harmed by these dark and dirty secrets and have been for a long time. This is not new. The rank and file have no particular defenses against mind control, electromagnetic frequency interference in their daily lives, etc., etc. Eric, welcome back.
Greetings, Jeff. Yes, we have really dug in on this topic now over the past several years, and I think our last few programs have really kind of exposed the whole load.
Agreed.
Which is very difficult to do because this is a very, very complex as you mentioned, highly secret topic, and has been denied by the official sources right along. The gaslighting thing.
Right.
And this business of what we would call organized stalking, electronic harassment. Sometimes it's called that. Sometimes it's called the targeted individual program. Sometimes it's called psychotronic warfare. Sometimes it's called cognitive warfare. Sometimes it's called mind war. I think we put in the show notes the global gulag. Just in case.
It is a global gulag, and there's no question about it. That's not to say that every country is being equally harmed, influenced, impeded, or interfered with by these technologies, but they're all part of the whole. They're part of the whole. Let's leave it right there.
Yeah, and of course, my explorations on this have really started in earnest when I retired from a 30-year university teaching career in 2011, and I have several websites I'll just mention real quick that are starting to kind of come together and it's starting to gel as widely diverse as the topics are. It's possible to see how they relate. My naturalclimatechange.org talks about, well, how climate changes naturally. And of course, what we see then is that this has been weaponized propaganda. This is a psychological warfare technique against the world, of course, to control energy and to control us and to get us to believe that 2 + 2 = 5.
And now, Eric, if I might add, believe it, AI and the advance that AI is making constantly, 25 hours a day, is astonishing. And when they plug this in fully to AI, there's no stopping it. There's nothing anybody can do because it's part of the fabric of our existence as dictated and conceived and manifested by the international Zionist Masonic elite. That's my take, not speaking for Eric.
Yeah, my take is a little different, Jeff. Let me come back around to that and just mention my other websites are 911nwo.com, which is, of course, the grand trigger event to justify the global war on terrorism really ramping up to create the Zionist super state and greater Israel and the global war on terror then to be extended to the entire world so that the battle space is in your community. It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's between
right down your block. Yeah.
Yes, right down your block. Your neighbors are your enemies now, and you're their enemy, and anybody can be a terrorist, anybody can be targeted. Well, this is kind of the backdrop then for this very high technology stuff that we've been talking about regarding mind control and psychotronics, which is technology that's been developed since World War II in more or less a secret arms race between the Soviets and the United States. The Soviets were all into this too, but then going on my other websites, of course, gang stalking, mind control, cults, 911nwo.com. What we've been talking mostly about is gang stalking, mind control, cults, which now has 2,500 posts on it. And I wanted to then I've got San Luis Valley Waterwatch.com and Eric Karlstrom.com, which is my music website. But I wanted to kind of, what kind of spurred my, piqued my interest in this topic. I'm always hearing from other targeted individuals from around the world, of course. And, you know, targeted individuals are, targeted for elimination and experimentation and weapons testing and all manner of tortures. It's, you know, when Catherine Austin Fitz has repeatedly said death is not the worst thing that can happen, well, a targeted individual would understand what that means. And she was targeted for 12 years and somehow got out of it. Usually you're in it for life. But I got a message from a targeted individual. We are a group of volunteers and opening a new scheme in our community. Your internet website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, gives us valuable details to function on. You've done an impressive job, and our entire community will likely be grateful to you. Well, okay, the reason that piqued my interest is, you know, I really don't know much, if anything, about this person, but it's very recent. But if there are indeed civilian citizens in communities who are getting together and talking about this, that's a big step forward. Because, of course, they want to divide and conquer. They want to discredit and disgrace the TIs and make it appear to their neighbors that, you know, they're psychopaths or they're pedophiles or they're prostitutes or they're always, you know, these people that are coming into our communities to diss them, to discredit them, defame them, want to make sure that they are pariahs and are kind of separated and therefore can be really worked on, and then socially isolated, and then eventually, hopefully, you know, forced out into the street where they can really get worked on. So it's a soft kill operation. And these no-touch torture technologies have been developed by the CIA, right along with the mind control technologies have been developed by the CIA, right along with the non-lethal weapons technologies, which have been developed by the CIA since they formed. CIA formed in 1947. So what we have here is this basically a CIA program, which is carried out by so many elements of government, agencies of government. All agencies of government now would have their quote-unquote counterterrorism. Wing, and this flies under the guise of counterterrorism. We're gonna go get those terrorists because the TIs, the targeted individuals, have been mislabeled as terrorists when in fact they're just regular citizens that the government wants to silence or get rid of for one reason
Correct.
Or the other.
You bet. Yeah.
So this is a, you know, we're talking about an uber police state. We're talking about an open electronic concentration camp. We're talking about Gitmo out in your community, you know, and you don't know which of your fellows is being targeted and tortured in this manner. You would know if you're being targeted, tortured in this manner, but you wouldn't know about the other people. And so this has been flying under the radar now. For many, many decades. And as we talked last week, given this timeline that I put together just recently, it's called Timeline to the Beast System, Mind-Controlled, Hive Mind, Psycho-Civilized, Cyborg Slave Society, with TIs as guinea pigs. Okay, I put it into a PDF form, Jeff, and it's about 97 pages. And it consists mostly of quotes from my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website. But it's strung together, of course, in chronological order so we can see when these particular technologies came on the scene. We can see some of the key military documents, documents by the CIA psychologists.
Right. Well, if anybody could put that together, it's you. So I'm sure this is going to be quite an interesting trip, a little journey to take. Good.
Yeah, we started taking this last time, and we talked about how, you know, some of these early programs in the 50s that the CIA and the military were involved in, such as Operation Moonstruck and Project Orion, which are described in detail, track along with some of the very first TIs being secretly implanted with radio receivers in their ear canals and in their EEG devices inserted into their brain, and then parallel with that, those particular events which we have documented here are the articles by guys like Dr. Jose Delgado, who invented the stimulus receiver, and see the kind of articles he was writing at that time. So we looked at last time, this is just for people who missed that, but I think it's good to kind of recap. We looked at two cases in the early part of this program. Glenn E. Nichols, who was implanted repeatedly in the 60s, the 50s and 60s and 70s. And then we looked at Robert Naslund, who was Glenn's from California, Robert Naslund from Sweden, more or less the same thing. He was involuntarily implanted at a hospital when he went in for something else. So the doctors are very much in on it. So the doctors are cooperating. The psychologists, the psychiatrists are cooperating with the top intelligence people to get this stuff done. This is not aliens. This is human beings who I think are particularly evil, actually. But we can take that up closer to the president and look at another well-documented case under 1997 here, and I think it's worth just spending a minute on this. We'll look at a guy who was a politician in California named David Larson, and these people who realize what's happening. Okay, that's a big victory actually for TI. Most TI don't even know they're being targeted. All they know is their life is going to hell and they're out on the street or whatever. But he realized what was happening and he looked into it and he was able to go to some hospitals and doctors who were good doctors, and they actually removed about 10 implanted devices from him. He was able to study,
wow.
Yeah. And he was able to study these devices and, and he found some patents that had been written by actually some of his neighbors. And let me just read this off 1997 from the David A. Larson Report, Criminal and Scientific Misconduct Involving Neural Prosthesis Research Funded by NIH, NINDS, NPP, and the Alfred E. Mann Foundation. 10 microstimulator devices, or biosensors, were surgically removed from politician David A. Larson by an L.A. California.
What year was this, approximately?
This is 97, when they're removed.
Okay.
So he was being treated like a robot, and of course his mind manipulated and read, and his even body motions, etc. So this is how you turn a normal human being into a remote-controlled slave. We know remote controls work for garage doors and TVs, but now we better know that remote control can be done to human beings. And
if I might say this, whatever they had planned on, whatever they were working on prior to 97, that's 27 years ago. Where are they now? You wouldn't find an implant that would be recognizable. I think they probably have biologically formatted implants, which the late Dr. Roger Lear, a good friend of mine, said that he found in some of the abductees he was working with. These were biological devices that actually moved when he went to try to grab them to take them out. This technology is way down the road from where it was. It's not even recognizable. They're not going to tell us. And I think whatever you're suggesting is well within their reach, if not in an almost an elementary school fashion at this point. I really think they've got this completely wired, and human beings are utterly, utterly controllable and being controlled. That's my take.
You're right. You know, or you're right. But I'm kind of going through the history of this thing so people can see how we got to what you're saying.
No, very good. Very important.
Because what you're saying is very difficult for people to believe what you're saying, because it sounds
for
like
openers,
possible. It sounds like science fiction. But in fact, we'll see by looking at this history that we did have some very, very evil and brilliant scientists, you know, much like Eisenhower warned us about in A Scientific Elite, Mad Scientist, and he warned us of that in 1961. And this thing was going at that time. But going back to poor old David Larson, these devices were analyzed by using microscopy and by materials characterization techniques, by energy dispersive spectroscopy, EDS, at Photometrics Materials Characterization Lab in Huntington Beach, California, and confirm the presence of silicon, chlorine, and other materials used in semiconductor processing. The recovered devices are an exact match for the devices that were developed by research scientists Joseph Shulman. Well, now, what tribe is he from? Joseph Shulman, Gerald Loeb,
L-O-E-B.
L-O-E-B. And Philip Troik, under contract from the National Institutes of Health. There are about four contracts involved, but the initial contract, it gives a number, and funded by National Institutes of Health, NINDS, and NPP. And remote electronic assault on Larson occurred during the same quarter in which Shulman and Loeb filed patent applications for implantable devices and patient monitoring systems, which employ the above methods of bidirectional telemetry. Okay, the word is telemetry, and of course we know it now as telehealth. You know, so your doctor can read what's going on in you. Well, this can be done. You can turn tele-torture, you know, and that's what these people have been doing. Poor old David Larson made this nice report, which you can get it online, and he's got photos of all the devices that were removed. I think he did figure out what was going on. But alas, as is so often the case, his case was thrown out of court. In general, the judges are all in on this because this is a huge project, and it has been called the Mark of the Beast project. And Jesse Beltran, who we'll talk about a little bit, has made a real good video about this recently. He's a Californian who has tried with a few scanning devices to locate these devices in many, many targeted individuals, and he's kind of taking up the cause of the TIs. But he notes in his video, which hopefully we'll get to, Larson had unwittingly signed a document agreeing to be a part of an experiment, and that is why they say they threw out the case. But it's another major, I think, revelation to understand that Larson was victim. Oh, by the way, Shulman and these guys were also ham radio operators. So not only could they put the device in him, but they could then communicate with the device and control him. So these guys are evil with a capital E. I cannot personally imagine anything more evil than to try to usurp another human being's brainwaves and try to manipulate that person to do your bidding. In other words, to turn them into your personal slave. But that does seem to be the program here. And this keeps coming up. There is a group that's trying to enslave the rest of us, and I think we should probably know about it if we want not be enslaved. And another good example is the case, another court case, which was actually successful now. This was one of the early successes. And that was a guy named Walbert, or James Walbert. And he had a business partner in Wichita, Kansas. He was an inventor, and his partner, Jeremiah somebody or other, another one of those names, was actually blasting his brain and trying to steal the contents or the secrets of his brain to outcompete him. So they started as business partners, and then his partner got this technology somehow and was blasting away in his brain in order to steal his ideas. And so, yes, people's minds can be read, ideas, secrets.
There's no security anymore, nowhere to hide. Really, if they want you, they're gonna take charge of your life one way or the other. They're gonna pick you up like a sponge and wring you out.
Well, that has certainly been the case, and that is the case now. Now, there's a couple glimmers of hope. Colorado and California now have kind of rudimentary laws protecting your freedom of thought, protecting your brainwaves. California has a law to protect your brainwaves from being harvested by corporations. That's technology. Corporations can harvest your brainwaves now. And we walk around thinking that our thoughts are our own, but the technology has got to the point where the thoughts are not our own. And one of the the articles that's underneath my name in this show is the actual article that was referred to by the first letter that I wrote about this group that, in a community that's trying to defend themselves from this technology. And that article was written by a 50-year-plus TI by the name of Max Williams. He is one of the TIs that I'm in contact with. There's a bunch of TI mailing lists, and it's called The Silent Massacre, Electronic Stalking and Mind Control. This came out in 2009. He wrote it in 2009. So this topic goes way, way back, and it's a long article. It was reprinted by Rudy Tu's multilingual blog. Mm-hmm. And it's a long article in which he basically gives his opinion as to what's going on. Now, this guy worked in the State Department, has a PhD in history, healthy man, historian, very bright, obviously. He believes that he said some things that the Zionists didn't like, and that probably got him hooked into the program. He gives his opinions about the structure of the program with power brokers at the top, and then all TIs would have their handlers who work for the power brokers, and then there would be lots of accomplices like your street perpetrators, your street theater people, the goons on the ground, the flying monkeys, as they're sometimes called, the people that actually accost and harass the... It's a very, very expensive program. And he makes the point in here that only governments would have the facilities and the wealth to carry this out, but that some individual corporations, et cetera, could probably do that. But this is a huge program. And what we're seeing, I think, is that, it's a crime. I regard it as the greatest crime against humanity in history. And Max states his opinion that with the internet and with the communication between TIs and our ability to communicate, this crime is going to be exposed. And that eventually the perpetrators, as we call them, will have to face justice. Now, what you said about AI now comes in. It's kind of a race. Can we TIs, and I'm one since 2013, and now I realize, having read Max's paper here, I had chronic fatigue syndrome back in this 76. I think that's a part of the being blasted with these frequencies is CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome. So I think I probably trace back to the 70s. Max traces back to the 70s, maybe the 60s. And many trace back to the 50s, like Glenn Nichols, et cetera. These people need help. They need restitution. They need psychiatric. They need what's happening is that the society is trying to remove them, trying to kill them. And, you know, David Lawson, who is a private detective, traveled around with these perpetrators for 12 years, riding around in cars to see how the program worked. And he wrote a book in 2007, something like that, called Cause Stalking. And on the front cover, it says, 1, identify, 2, vilify, 3, nullify, 4, destroy, community organized stalking. This is what it is. What you have is a covert murder program being run and denied by the government with its partners, whoever they are, or by other governments. And this guy, Max Williams, discusses all these possibilities. So what we have is a silent massacre going on. And, you know, I haven't gotten a whole lot of positive feedback from – I've been giving talks about this in interviews since 2014. I've been working on this website now since 2016. I don't hear a whole lot of people saying, golly, I feel really bad for these TIs. What can we do to help? I'm not hearing
– No, you don't hear that. No, I don't hear it.
Why not? What's going on?
I think it's outside the consensus of the populace. They just don't want to go there. They don't know how to go there. They don't necessarily embrace it easily. It sounds a little bit too spooky for them. They're just not involved. That's 75-80% at least. And then you've got 20% maybe. And how do you reach them? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Except accept it. First step is to accept it as being real. That's hard for people. I'm not saying I'm excusing it all, but it's difficult for the rank and file who live in a fake reality, who stare at their screens 5 hours a day. They're being programmed all the time. So there's part of your answer, part of it.
Yes, and I agree. But on the other hand, I think that there's a very, very high, relatively high percentage of the population who are in one way or another involved in this, who are profiting.
I think there
are entire professions that are involved in this. I think the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Homeland Security, and certainly NSA, these people are directly involved, or ex-cops and cops, military and ex-military. These people are at the level of the handlers. So you got the power brokers, according to Max Williams' diagnosis here, you got the power brokers, you know, overseeing it. You know, but then you have the kind of mid-level handlers who are generally have a gun and a badge, you know, or they're plain clothes versions of somebody with a gun and a badge, spooks, special forces. And we know that we've heard talks, I've heard talks, and I've got them on my website by guys like Dr. James Giordano of Georgetown University, who's a DARPA consultant, and he calls himself a neuroweaponologist. And a neuroethicist, which is a contradiction.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Wait. Neuroweaponologist and
Ethicist. He calls himself a neuroethicist.
An ethicist? Oh, this guy is... Yeah.
but the bottom line is, he's a very, very, very bright guy, and he's talking to all these special
forces.
Very scary. Yeah. He's saying things, coming right out and saying, we're targeting the brain. And this is another arms race. Now, they always couch it like that. You know, we've got to win the arms race of controlling other people's minds, because Putin has said whoever controls, who learns how to completely control the electromagnetic spectrum and psychotronic weapons will control the world. I mean, this is the rhetoric that they used back in the Cold War, you know, for this, that, and the other. But always the U.S. has been ahead. And this guy, he just lays it out in several lectures that he's giving to military people that I've got on my website that I've transcribed. And he says, yeah, we can find out how this person reacts and does this, and then that informs my human intelligence and my signals intelligence and my domestic intelligence and all these different kinds of intelligences. And basically, the military is running this. And this is, I regard this as the family jewels of the CIA. I don't know what we heard there, but anyway, so then we've got, to verify that, we've got James Canton, Dr. James Canton, who was with the early Apple guys making Apple.
Right.
Now he's CEO of Global Futures, Inc. and things like that. He's talking to Special Operations Forces and the Donovan Group. And he's talking about the Havana Syndrome, which is what this is. This is just another name for Havana Syndrome, which is the attack that somebody made, some mysterious people, made on American and Canadian diplomats in Cuba in 2016-2017. Heck, they've been doing this to me since 1976 and to Glennie Nichols since the 50s and to but now they're saying this is new and we don't know what it is. You see how the military works? I mean, deception is built into their whole spiel. I mean, and of course, now that I've studied this so much, and I'm a retired professor, so I know how to study and I know how to think, I can see where these guys are, you know, kind of pulling the wool over people's eyes, and I can see where they're being honest. And it's always a mix of those things, you know. But anyway, James Canton is an excellent speaker, and he's talking to these military people, talking about the Havana Syndrome and how they're using this technology in the wild now. Well, they've been using it in the wild since the 50s. And he's talking about the things that are, he said, apparently legal, and that includes, you know, using electromagnetic frequencies and all these other psychotronic weapons. And so the actual maladies, this is non-lethal, they call it non-lethal weapons. They call it mind control. They got you know, hundreds of names for this.
Yeah.
But he's saying, I want you know, he's talking, now they have a certain way of talking, and they're always talking in the first place. I want that guy out of the picture. I want him off the playing field. And of course, he's now speaking as the motivation now of the entire special forces or whatever. This is our goal now. We're going to use these non-lethal weapons, quote unquote, because they can be lethal. We're going to use this mind to take these guys out. This is the kind of words that we're going to take them out. We're not going to kill them, but we're going to make sure that they're out of the game and they can't get back in. This is how they talk. And this is exactly what they did with those diplomats who then were suffering from all kinds of, you know, memory loss and disorientation and mental issues. And these guys had to go on disability. And they were taken out of the game. And, of course, they call it a syndrome, which means they don't know what did it. But that's another lie. And they also call it anomalous health incidents. That is another CIA lie. This is the same program they've been doing to, you know, all these people that we're talking about, Glenn Nichols and Robert Naisland and poor old David A. Larson and poor old James Walbert, all the same thing. And we can document, and I believe they've done it with millions of people, and they're doing it with millions of people. And they're denying it, just like they're denying the chemtrails to this day. I mean, how do you deal with a government that wants to, you know, do you in? Well, unless you know that, you cannot respond appropriately.
You know that, you can't respond, period. You can't. Your response is meaningless unless you understand, know thy enemy. Unless you know your enemy, you have nothing, nothing going. You're out of the game.
Yeah, we have been successfully duped and fooled on such a level, on such a scale, that it's really hard to believe.
Yeah.
Again, with the Internet, and this is something that Walter Borat said, too, in his book Operation Mind Control Researchers Edition, which we talked about a lot last time. 818 pages. I mean, this is the mother load of information historically, too. This is where I got the information about Glenny Nichols and so many other incidents. Mm-hmm. He put it together. It's not easy to put it together because we're dealing with work of, you know, a tremendous number of different scientists in different fields. This is the most complex weapon system that's ever been devised by humans. And this is what Dr. Robert Duncan says. Let's see if I can find that quote. It's very good. In my Timeline to the Beast System article, which we talked about last time, like I say, I've got mostly quotes because I feel, well, I'm lazy. I'm 75. I've already written lots of papers. I just use other people's words because in a way it's more compelling. And this is what ex-CIA neuroscientist, the late Dr. Robert Duncan said. There are hundreds of uncovered human experimentation projects that our own government has done on its citizens. Neurotechnology weapons are very old, easily before the 60s. We've documented that. They didn't really roll out those weapons and come online until 1976. That was the year I came down with chronic fatigue syndrome and the woodpecker signal and the H1N1 vaccine, by the way. It ramped up quite a bit after 9/11. You see the increase in targets based on the military budgets. Obama calls it the Brain Initiative. This is about war. It's about controlling humans. All of you, this will be the end of the human race as we know it. Now, this guy was a neuroscientist, very bright PhD out of Dartmouth and Harvard. The subtext is to get these weapons more refined by sampling more minds. They also want to hide this very dark period of 60 years. This has been our life, Jeff. This dark period of 60 years of torturous, murderous, silent assassination, secret stealing, influencing democracies from the public. They want to keep it from the public, and so they want civilian scientists to rediscover what we, the military, have done in our secret labs. All this can only end one way, the brain nets and the hive mind. Of course, this gets us into Elon Musk and what he's rolling out now. All humanoids, he calls it, will be connected and regulated. You'll probably have thought police. Of course, that's what Yuval Noah Harari says. You know, they'll be able to read your thoughts, they'll turn you in if you don't applaud the, you know, the fearless leader. We, the government, can steal your passwords and interrogate your mind while you are dreaming. Probing minds has kind of been covered up by the mystical ideas of psychic spying or psychic warrior, which is another kind of limited hangout. But it's really neurological cloning. If you're an enemy of the state, well, that would be a dissident or a whistleblower, well, the enemy includes your family and friends. By the way, this is how William Donovan talked, who was the head guy at the OSS, which preceded the CIA. And this is how George Bush talked after 9/11. Okay, we're going to get the terrorists. We're going to cut them off from all their support systems, friends and family, and all the contacts in the neighborhood that might give them, you know, food, water, solace, etc. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. They're tracking us. I'm a TI. They're tracking us 24/7. They're trying to disrupt and destroy every single, if they could, interaction that you have. Now, I've figured out ways around that, and I can usually spot them coming, but they fool me all the time. And I've got a PhD in geography, and I've lots of experience, and I'm 75 years old, but they're very clever. Okay, I'll keep going with this statement. If you're an enemy of the state, well, the enemy includes your family and friends. So they will target your family and friends. So this is evil to the, you know, nth degree. We can destabilize and demoralize with these technologies. We can alter decision-making in real time. The more these weapons are known about, the less effect they will have. That's why I've been talking for 11 years about this. For those who are political dissidents and need to be disposed of, this weapon's perfect because usually it causes some form of mental illness during the rehabilitation process. And then they get labeled mentally ill. That's the psychiatric reprisal that the Soviet Union used. And then they get put on drugs. This is what a lot of humans are going through. It's a painful process. You might say it's hell. You can call it forced re-education or, quote, stealing someone's soul. You might not even know your intellectual property is being stolen, okay, like it was with James Walbert in Wichita, Kansas, by his partner Jeremiah whatever with a tribal name. In practice, over time, the link is lost between the target and the controllers. That's why you need the auditory hearing effect, the microwave hearing, synthetic telepathy, voice of God, V2K, to synchronize the brains and make sure they stay locked on with similar stimulus to each brain. So imagine you, the TI, or you, the human being, you, the American, are now like a sim. You're like an avatar or whatever, and somebody else has got a computer, and they're programming you in real time. They're watching your thoughts in real time. They're interfering with your senses in real time. They can put sounds in your head. They can put holograms in your eyes. They can see what you're seeing. They can hear what you're hearing. That's hard to believe, and yet that's true. He says, yeah, these are the secrets of psychic remote viewing and influencing. Okay, remote viewing is another thing the military was all into studying. But in a way, it was a limited hangout because this is remote viewing. If you can go into somebody else's brain halfway around the world and see what they're seeing, that's remote viewing, isn't it? Exactly. And remote influencing. So now you know how they did it. Now you know how they saw those files in that submarine. Well, they probably tapped the brain of the person.
Well, they actually saw they saw the submarine in the building it was being built in. They didn't know what was in the building. That was the first part of it. The Soviets were building an enormous submarine in this big building, and we couldn't see into it with our sound lights. So they hired some remote viewers. I think Joe McMonigal was the one who actually solved the puzzle. It was a submarine that they were building.
Yeah, and obviously this is very complicated stuff, and I think probably remote viewing, you know, with Ingo Swann and those guys is, you know, it overlaps with this, but it's not the same. There are real psychics from Warren says they use remote viewers in Cheyenne Mountain, that underground facility in Colorado Springs, which Warren runs.
Yes, I believe you're right. Remote viewing is being used more than most people would ever believe. I'm convinced of that, too. They're also using David Oates' reverse speech. They have been for probably decades to find out what people really think and are really saying. All they have to do is use reverse speech to analyze it, and they'll get it.
Well, then he goes on, only governments as large as the United States and maybe Britain, China, and Russia, and for sure Israel, can pull off this trick worldwide on their own populations. Counterintelligence works so well. You have to read the book, The Art of War by Sun Tzu, written 2,500 years ago or 2,000 years ago.
That's all. Mm-hmm.
People fall for all the trickery. It seems like God is doing this to them. They are making fun of the ignorance of humanity while they perform this trickery. You actually know how to take over the world now. You can control the world with this technology. And that's why now it's in the hands of Elon Musk, apparently, most of the components of this, with the AI, by the way. Okay, so then he goes on to say, and this is why I brought up this quote finally, this is the most important weapon system that the United States, and I assume that Russia and China, are developing. This is actually real ASP. This truly is the most sophisticated weapon system that humanity has ever created. It involves every aspect of science. It involves tactics that are unimaginable unless you have just a devious criminal mind. And it destroys lives. It's being used on innocent people. Every time the military budget, he says that again, like after 9/11, you have more targets come online. And they all have the same date when they came online. This is about brain hacking, mind hacking. We rewired the brain so you actually have more inputs. But there's a cost. You are taking away from your other senses. TIs will never be the same human beings again. So we're being cyborged in real time. Their brains are frozen. Under our government, there's officially no such thing as torture, but that is the U.S. policy. Through the trickery, they can make people harm themselves. So they're looking for self-harm. They're cataloging, classifying brain patterns, which can be transformed and transmitted into other human beings. Okay, this would be the, you know, EEG patterns, et cetera, electroencephalogram, and other forms of a non-invasive brain wave measurement. All that is being done is they are playing these patterns back into the brain and central nervous system. They have big libraries full of these patterns. There is no physical touch. There is no physical harm being done to the individual. But they'll go through three a day of these different tortures. This is all done through the brain. It's the brain's reaction to these different tortures that they are playing with back to them. Well, remember, we were wondering, you know, how do they make a woman feel like she's being raped? Well, we just found out. They're sending these brainwave patterns of real women who have gotten raped. And these are the sensations that a brain would experience if they were experiencing the physical action, and now they can just put the brain waves in the brain, and the brain feels it as if it is happening in real time. And so it goes on, the brain feels the pain as if it's real. We call it no-touch torture. This causes heart damage over time. So these aren't completely non-lethal weapons. One of the objectives of torture is to keep them in maximum pain and as high a stress level as possible. And all of that cortisol running through your system for years creates all sorts of cardiovascular diseases and tertiary diseases. They have many damaging effects. Yeah. And then finally, he says, I think Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and General Michael Hayden should be held responsible, amongst many others. I think that's a good way to, Dick Cheney was Darth Cheney. He gave the green light after 9/11.
What an overtly evil man he was. You can see these people for what they are if you don't lose your vision. You've got to keep watching. Stand back. Don't get absorbed and sucked into it. When you back off, you can see these people for what they are. It's not hard.
Well, not only that, but if you look into the life of Darth Cheney, which I've got on one of my posts here, back in, I think it was the 50s or 60s, he and Rumsfeld were a team, and these guys were not yet politicians, but they were on the global, you know, the world government team even then. Yeah. And they were subsidized to do a 3-year study on guaranteed universal income. So this is a long-term plan of the ruling elite, you know, and they have always been gophers for this ruling elite. Dick Cheney was high up in the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, which is, you know, kind of above this policymaking for groups like the CIA, and of course connected to the British roundtable groups, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. You know, this is the American extension of that. Sure. So really, this is part of the British Empire. But yeah, this is you could call them Illuminati, or you could call them globalists, but they are agenteurs of this And a lot of people think that, you know, even this whole program has been called Dick Cheney assassination. So, yeah, it's a black project. Some people think Dick Cheney's headed up. I don't know if he is or not. But it has a long history, and that's what we're disclosing here. And I think the connection with the beast system, where you can't buy or sell, you know, without a mark on your forehead or on your – we're very close to that. And I think this is part of that system. And this comes along in a very good recent YouTube interview with Jesse Beltran, who is the guy I mentioned in California. And I would recommend this, and I think it's under my name in the notes. It's his interview is called Nanotech Weapons and Havana Syndrome. Now, of course, nanotech would be in the COVID jabs, and the Havana syndrome I described. The nanotech, according to Jesse, can self-assemble into essentially what a chip would have done, as you mentioned, back, you know, 30 years ago. So the people don't need to be chipped anymore. All they need to have is this smartness, this nanotech inside them, and they can be quote unquote hooked into the system. Now, hooked would be a word that Max Williams used. And Max Williams, again, he's a very bright man. He's been a TI for 50 years. He's hypothesizing that all Americans have already been hooked. But they're targeting the ones that they think that they want to for whatever reason they want. But it should be a very disconcerting thought to people that if they could target you tomorrow if you said something wrong or did something they'd like or didn't, whatever
That's
reason.
Right.
Should on some terrorist list.
That's right. Just that simple. It's so complex, but when you get to the rudiments of it, it's not hard to understand. They just have the technology, and they use it all the time. They have no mercy when it comes to human suffering. None. It's like a lab animal. That's all we are. Go ahead.
It's horrible to think that, but I think that is for sure. And, of course, Max Williams and many, many others talk about the psychopathic nature of these handlers who are handling us, you know, 24/7. But going back to Dr. Robert Duncan, who was recently killed, by the way, for some of his statements. So this is, high secret.
When was he killed? How long
within
ago?
Last year. It's within the last 6 months. Oh. He worked on this stuff, and you know, like so many others, I think he didn't understand how what he was doing would damage so many people. I mean, I was a scientist, physical geographer, and I know the addiction of wanting to know the truth, and you get the time and the energy to study something and, you know, solve the problem. And now you're competing with your colleagues, and you know, it's really quite alluring. Well, these people in the neuroscience field are competing with their colleagues, and they're having a ball trying to figure out how the mind works, often not knowing how this stuff can be put to use by those evil controllers, you know. But so this is what Dr. Robert Duncan, he realized. He started interviewing these TIs, and he realized the evil purposes to which his work had been put. And but he does admit, I've watched many of his videos, and many of them are online on YouTube. You can learn a lot from him, Dr. Robert Duncan. But he says he's the inventor of what he called AI in the middle. That's a very descriptive title, because that is exactly what it does. So a actual handler or guy on a computer screen is now logging into the brain of the TI or the target, and then you know, he's actually monitoring things, but then he can just kind of walk away and put AI in the middle, and the AI will take over because they've now got this system so worked out. And then another controller or handler can come back in later. So that's where we are, as you say, with the AI. The AI can run this system now, and AI, of course, has even less compassion and empathy than the psychopaths.
No.
Yeah.
Nope. Artificial superintelligence supposedly will have the ability, if it's, I guess, allowed, programmed, to react in human fashion in some cases. But if you're going to turn it loose with a goal and a program and an operation, it will show no mercy. None. It's not human.
Anyway. Yeah, not with the Skyborg, Skynet, and the Terminator and all
that stuff. No. Quite a presentation, sir.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. I hope that we're whittling away and getting this out there. I hope that people are starting to, you know, wake up and get this stuff and defend themselves from it. You know, don't consider that we're going to lose. I personally believe it says in the Bible there will be no weapon made that, you know, that you cannot withstand. In other words, God will protect his best and brightest creation. That's the way I look at us. Obviously, our controllers don't look at us in such a positive light. You know, they look at us as an enemy.
No, that's all true. All true. Thank you, Professor Carlstrom. Eric, you take care of yourself, and we'll talk soon. Great job.
Okay. Good night.
Okay. Good night. All right. We'll be back with more, much more. Every night, three guests. Some nights, two guests. Like tomorrow night, Admiral Cooper will be here again. Be right back with more after this.